Bonnie Michaels is an internationally recognized work-life balance expert. She co-founded an organization called Managing Work and Family. She's written two books on the subject. Her first one is called Solving the Work-Family Puzzle. She'll be speaking with us today about her second book, A Journal of Work-Life Renewal, which describes her one-year sabbatical that she took with her husband, Michael. She's also recently begun producing a radio show on the Women's Radio Network called Leadership and Life Excellence. Welcome to the show, Bonnie.
Thank you so much. It's really nice to be here and talk about my favorite subject.
Great. I'm excited, too, because just thinking about sabbaticals makes me ready to go take one, so I want to hear more about it. So tell me a little about how you came to think that you could and should take a sabbatical.
Well, I'm a work-life balance consultant and speaker, and when the work-life balance expert loses their balance and starts burning out, it's a good idea to take time out. So basically, I took my own advice when I realized that I was really burning out and not being effective with my clients and in general with all the people in my life. I was really tired and tired of helping other people, and I decided it was really time for a renewal. And so it was a hard decision because I was doing very well in my business, and most of my professional friends and family thought that I was really doing terrible things to just drop out, and it was probably one of the best things that my husband and I ever did.
So interesting that their perception was that you were dropping out, you know, like that has such negative connotations.
Yes. Well, in this country, people who take time out somehow are perceived as not being okay, or they're not being responsible, and you know, when you travel to other places in the world, you see how much more they respect the time. They realize how important time out is, whether it's vacations, mini sabbaticals, or just having a more normal work week. It's taken for granted that this is part of life. The beauty of life is the time that we have for all the things that are important.
And so many people wait until a crisis happens, or maybe they get very ill, to take time out. And it sounds like because of the work you were in, you could catch yourself before any kind of crisis came.
Yes, and I think that I probably would have done more damage in terms of my business, because I was starting to get really angry when people asked me questions that I'd heard, you know, 15 years in a row. It's like, you know, don't you know this? Get a life. And I found myself saying, oh my goodness, what am I doing? You know, I couldn't be compassionate. I couldn't be empathetic. I couldn't be a good problem solver, which is a big part of my business. And so it was time for a reflection and time to find ways to renew myself. And it was also a very good transition in my life cycle, so to speak, having finished raising children and looking to the next phase of my life and thinking about how I really wanted to live it out. And for my husband, clearly it was another way for him to look at retirement, which was sort of looming in the close horizon. And so for us, it was a time to really think about our lives, what we wanted to do, to learn new things, to see what the world was about without work, without family, without responsibilities, and to be a gypsy, really, for a year.
So how did you decide what to do?
Well, we spent a lot of time on this part. We thought we might teach in Japan, and then that didn't work out. And then we decided that we would just choose two things that we always wanted to do in the world, and it would involve probably going to different countries, and try to find a way that we could financially do that with airline tickets and so, and manage to accomplish that. And that's exactly what we did. My dream was to study flamenco dance in Spain, and I got to live my dream, and it became more than I ever realized, because when you finally go someplace and you have some intent, and the intent was, of course, to learn a little bit about the culture. You know, we made friends. So many other things happened, this sort of serendipity of life, because we were open, and we had a mini agenda, but nothing that was written in stone. And my husband wanted to study archaeology, so we went to Israel. And then we really, really felt that we wanted to volunteer. That part of our experience was to help others and learn. And it's a wonderful way of integrating into a community. And we did many volunteer jobs in Australia, and we also did one in Japan.
Wow, you covered a lot of ground.
We did, but, you know, we didn't go around the world, so to speak, and, you know, bopping in every culture. We chose, you know, four or five places, and then we really had a flexible schedule. I remember when we left Israel, and we had a flight that was supposed to go through Germany, and my husband and I said, you know, we've never been to Germany. It was the birthplace of his mother. We thought that this would be a perfect time, and there was nothing stopping us. All we had to do was change our airline flight, get on a train, and go. And that set up another whole experience for us, because we were able to see his mother's homeland and a little bit of his history in the Holocaust. And it became a very poignant experience. And we really allowed ourselves to go with the flow, not to fill in the time every minute like we do here, you know, in the U.S. It was a wide open book, and when we felt like leaving, we left, and that was wonderful.
And you didn't find that your normal habits of trying to, I'm not sure what your habits are, but of trying to control your day or make plans, that didn't, like, seep in, and you had a desire to be more in control of this time?
That's a very good question. I think the first month we were in shock, because suddenly everything that we normally did, our routines, were all gone. There was no work to go to. There were no family responsibilities. We were renting a very small apartment in Seville, Spain, and we didn't have to house clean, you know. So it's like, and we didn't have friends. And so the whole structure of our lives were sort of up in grabs. But the good part was that we could reinvent it, and reinvent it in a way that made more sense for us. And so we embraced the culture we were in, which meant that we slept late, we took naps, good Spain siestas. We had long, wonderful meals. We made new friends through different networks that we sort of initiated ourselves, and we wandered a lot. You know, we could just take time to wander through wonderful neighborhoods or get on a bus and go to another little nearby town. So we did set up a new kind of structure, but one that was not so much about time. The time became not we have to be here at a certain, you know, hour, or we have to eat at a certain time, but rather we were going on our sort of instincts of our body. What did our bodies need, our minds need? And then, of course, the Spain culture is so much more relaxed, and we really embraced that, which was hard. You know, I was used to walking fast, going everywhere, being on time, and suddenly I learned to just be in the moment, going with the slow flow of the Spanish culture, really enjoying mealtime and loving the siesta, which we still do today.
I was going to ask you that, what you brought back with you from your trip, yeah.
Yes, for sure we did. And, you know, you wonder, well, how can you do that in work? Well, we try very hard to not schedule things in the afternoon around 2 o'clock. That's sort of like my nap time, and it's like 10-15 minutes just to close my eyes and get refreshed. And, you know, we find ourselves, if we're traveling or in the car, to stop somewhere and just close our eyes. And it sounds, you know, like impossible, but it is very easy to do if you make a commitment, you know, that this is going to be part of your life.
So was it hard to reintegrate back into your regular life?
Yes, it was. I have to be very honest. Probably the hardest part was that we had changed so much, that we had experienced so much, and we really wanted to share it, as well as begin to think about new ways of living our life back here in the U.S. And when we came back, you know, everybody was still doing the same thing and living the same kind of life. And it was very hard to make that adjustment. And as a result, we did make some major changes in living, how we were going to live, where we were going to live. And I began adding new things in my consulting practice that had to do with sabbaticals and renewal, having people really look at their lives in terms of what time means and how to be able to do it in little chunks. I think that more than anything, we've just been an inspiration for people to let them know it's possible to take out time. You don't have to take a year, but you can take out some time, and it's so valuable that you just can't imagine what it does to your whole person, in how you perceive life, handle problems, deal with your family, and your profession.
I actually can't really imagine because I've never done it. But just thinking about what sometimes even taking an hour out of my day or taking a week or two vacation, how that can shift my way of thinking and get me out of some of the negative patterns. And so it just, if you multiply that times, you said a whole year you were gone?
Yes, a whole year.
It just seems like it would really help you rethink what's most important to you and how you want to be living your life.
Right, and I think some of the very basic things that came out of it, we did simplify our lives tremendously in terms of stuff and buying and how large of a house we were going to live in and what we really needed. We really evaluated that because we were away for 1 year and we only had one suitcase each. And so we learned that we really didn't need a lot of things to make, you know, our lives happy. So we stopped buying a lot. And the other thing that we really did was we began to just to look at the everyday experiences that can be so meaningful. I mean, we just look at life so differently. When you experience so many different cultures and you begin to see the possibilities of living your life, you can experiment more. It almost gives you permission. They're good models for you to, try different things with your life.
So are you ready to take another sabbatical?
Well, what we've been doing is taking many sabbaticals. Each year we look for some place in the world that we'd like to, you know, either visit and see opportunities for a little bit of volunteer work, and we usually take about a month. And we found that balancing a trip where we can learn something and be useful is a way of staying renewed as well. This last summer we did something new. We did a home exchange with a family in Holland, and I highly recommend this for people that are worried about budgets and you know how they're going to pay for time out. We exchanged homes, exchanged cars, and there was no money exchange in this at all. The only thing we were responsible for was getting the airfare getting there. So there's a website called www.homeexchange.com, and I highly recommend this as an option for thinking about some time out.
That's a great idea. I mean, because the other thing I was going to ask about is, you know, if you have to have a lot of money to take a sabbatical, is this only for people who are of high means? Or are there other ways that you've heard about people taking sabbaticals?
Well, there are many ways to think about this, and we certainly didn't want to go into any of our retirement money. So what we did was we rented our house while we were away, and that paid for a very large portion of our time out. And the other thing, we didn't look at this as a vacation where we were spending a lot of money to stay in fancy hotels or resorts. We really lived on a budget, and we looked for the opportunities and experiences that would lend itself to our growth rather than, you know, constantly pampering. That the idea for us was to have an experience in a culture, and we were willing to trade off with not staying in the best places, being careful about, restaurants. We were able to cook because we had apartments. And we didn't have a car, which is a big expense. And so we were able to, you know, cut off our car insurance and all those expenses that we had at home. Some people take sabbaticals and they actually do some part-time work we met some people along the way who were, we met a plumber who'd been traveling for 9 months, and he said, everybody needs a plumber. He said, I can always find work, you know, temporary work here and there.
Right.
You know, and there are ways that you could stay with families and study. And when we volunteered with two organizations. One is the Volunteers for Peace, and that's www.vfp.org. They have hundreds of volunteer opportunities around the world where you can come and work and you get room and board. And they charge a fee of about $200 for this experience. The Willing Workers on Organic Farms, we did a lot of work for them in Australia. And then our last trip to Greece, we did something on an island. We lived with a woman on a beautiful old 100-year-old home and helped her in her vineyard.
Wow.
So, you know, if you really have a goal, there are many, many ways of trying to plan this without spending a lot of money. And you have to just look at the intent. You know, it's not to stay in the fancy spa, but it is to have an experience and a renewal that includes, you know, culture, time out, wandering, and some serendipity. And in our book, The Journey of Work-Life Renewal, we have a lot of resources of different organizations and in a variety of ways of looking at planning this so that, you know, financially you're not putting yourself in jeopardy.
I also, as I listen to you, I'm thinking that a lot of people that could manage to pull this off, either because they have their own businesses or they could take time off from work, might not be able to coordinate that with another person. That was kind of remarkable that you were both able to do that.
It is remarkable, but it definitely took some effort on both of our, parts. I mean, we're both consultants, but in different businesses, and it certainly was a risk for both of us. What I found out is that for me, because I was in the business of life balance, my clients actually looked at this as a tremendous role, as I was a great role model for truly living and walking the talk. So they were very curious about how this was going to work, and they wanted me to write to them. And when I came back, they really wanted to know everything about it, and they wanted me to give, you know, little demonstrations. They even wanted me to flamenco dance, which I thought was very funny, which I did. So for me, it was, I stayed connected, which is a big part of the strategy, you know, letting people know what you're doing, and people were very inspired and gave them courage to do things in little ways. My husband also kept in contact, and when he came back, there were assignments for him. It doesn't always work out perfectly, but what I have found in the many people I've interviewed or talked with who've done sabbaticals is that if their old job doesn't work out, it was probably meant to be, and they're able to think about other things that might be more meaningful in their lives, you know, their professions, and how to live their lives. So I don't think you can go wrong with a sabbatical. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think of them mostly traditionally, I guess, they've been for people in academia, professors, who it's built in oftentimes into their work lives. Are there other industries that this is becoming more acceptable?
Well, each year the Working Woman's Magazine prints the 100 best companies to work for, and I, you know, it changes year by year, but I'm finding that there are companies that are still offering sabbaticals because they see it, they have an enlightened CEO who really sees the value of keeping good people motivated and renewed so that they don't burn out. And I know that there have been some companies, Gentech, I think, had two levels. They had one for managers, and then they had one for individuals within the organization. And it was usually how many years you'd been in the organization. And sometimes what people can do is they can, you know, make a case for their sabbatical that they're going to go somewhere and learn something that will be of benefit to their organization. And I think that you have to be very clever if you are in a corporation that either has it or doesn't have it. I mean, you can try to really make a business case for why this is a good thing. And I've had some, you know, good case studies of individuals who really managed to convince their supervisors that it is a good thing and they're valued, and they go off and do something. I heard one woman went off to Russia for a while and used her skills in marketing, volunteering, and came back, and, you know, she added so much value in terms of her global experience. I think you just have to be very determined to do it and be very creative in how you approach this from a business point of view.
Is your experience typical of what happens for people, that it really is transforming for them?
I have not met anyone who has had a bad experience. And it's interesting to listen to the stories of, you know, how it does change people. You know, when you go away and you don't have your usual activities and schedules, you're really forced to face yourself, who you are. And it's a little scary for some people. You know, it's like, oh, my goodness, who am I? And, you know, without my roles as mother or father or worker, or, you know, mm-hmm. all of those things that we put in. And you know, I've never heard of anybody having a nervous breakdown. I'm sure that there are some people who've had better experiences than others. I heard one family who, it was an academic family that had gone, and they did bring teenagers with them. And the teenagers had a hard time at first really adjusting to a new culture, and they missed their friends. But, you know, I'm sure that in retrospect, they will look back at that time and think, wow, mm-hmm. you know, I got to live in Paris, France.
Right, right. And brag to their friends about that.
Right.
What was hard for you when you were away?
What was hard?
Yeah.
I think probably family connections. And we didn't have a big plan when we left, but when we started our trip after about the third month, we decided that we need to really find a way of staying more connected other than the telephone or email with our children. And so we planned, my daughter came to visit in Spain, my husband's children came to visit in Israel, and my sister came at one point to Spain. So it was one of our gifts, it was important for us to have that connection and to have them experience a little bit of our life and inspire them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for me, that was it. I was amazed that once I allowed myself to really just be present in the moment with whatever was going on, that I was truly enjoying myself and having such a good time. My husband and I both made an agreement that we would try not to whine about anything, because obviously you're going to have new living conditions that aren't perfect. It's going to rain. It's going to be cold. You're going to miss the bus. You know, all those things that happen when you travel. And when you're gone a year, there's much more of that. And I think that once we really made that effort not to complain about anything, we just kept the spirit alive. Okay, it is raining, but it's going to stop sometime. You know, okay, I'm a little cold, but I'll get warm in a minute, you know. And I think what it did for us is make us very strong and make us very able to live within a variety of situations, problem solve, and say, hey, we did it. You know, we managed that hour of waiting for the bus in the rain, and we're stronger because of it.
Did it affect your relationship with each other?
Yes, I think that it certainly made our relationship much more strong. You know, when you live with somebody, travel with somebody every day for a year, it's really a unique experience. We got to know each other in ways that we never anticipated. When you have time and you're not programmed into activities, you are able to just talk in a more deep way about things that it's almost unconscious, that things that are in the back of your mind. And of course, sharing things was wonderful, problem solving together, and we have a lifetime of experiences now, you know, that we reflect on all the time.
Mm.
I think that one of the things we did realize at a certain point is that when we stayed, in a place for a while. We tried to develop a social network because we did need other things besides ourselves. And I made a lot of friends in Spain who were flamenco dancers. We met an American group of men and women who had an organization specifically as a support group for Americans living abroad. And we tried to network in other countries with groups outside of ourselves so we would have, you know, something that was a little more of a social network.
Hmm. Now, I know that the term sabbatical comes from the concept of Sabbath. Is that, that's correct?
Yes, okay. It is. Right.
And I have this brief quote from Wayne Muller's book called Sabbath, Finding Rest, Renewal, and Delight, I believe it's called. And he talks about the main purpose of Sabbath being to create a marker for ourselves if we're lost so we can find our way back to our center. And I wonder, in closing, if you feel like you've found your way back to your center.
I think that it's always an ongoing journey, but it certainly was the beginning of knowing what it's like to be truly centered, and knowing that when I get off center again, that I need to take some time out. And it doesn't mean that it has to be a year, but I am so clear on those experiences of true renewal, and it is about time, and it is about sometimes just wandering and ruminating and not thinking about anything but just being. And you can do that at home. I think the year experience gave us the tools to be able to do it in short spurts on a regular basis.
Thank you so much, Bonnie. You've really inspired me, and I hope you've inspired other people who are listening. I really appreciate you taking time to speak with us today.
Thank you so much. I hope other people will be inspired too.
We've been speaking today with Bonnie Michaels. Bonnie is a pioneer and expert in work-life balance strategies and is the owner of Managing Work and Family. If you want more information about Bonnie and the work that she's doing, go to her website at www.mwfam.com. Thanks for joining us for It's About Time. We welcome your comments and your story ideas. You can just email them to itsabouttimeradio@comcast.net. This show has been produced in association with Take Back Your Time, a national initiative challenging overwork, overscheduling, and time urgency. Find them at timeday.org.